Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, what's going on? It's Ryan Dorfman here with UFC Meets Fantasy Sports. Back at it again. Got a lot of stuff to talk about today. A lot of stuff. Let's start out with UFC 209, which took place on March 4th, which was a total abomination, to be completely honest with you. It was a total abomination. It was awful. It was horrible. First of all, obviously, we got bad news because Khabib Nurmagomedov pulled out of the fight like he always does the day before the weigh-ins, which was ridiculous. It was the day of the weigh-ins. He pulled out on Friday, and the fight was on Saturday. So disappointing stuff there. You've got to feel bad for Tony Ferguson, but at the same time, he was laughing to the bank because he still got paid, and he didn't even have to step into the octagon. The title fight was absolutely horrendous. Here's the thing with this title fight. They were very tentative. It was like a tactical chess match. I don't think it was fair to boo these guys. They both had tremendous respect for each other. They had fought each other before, so they knew what to expect. And it goes to show that because they're being so tentative, how dangerous they both were. So I think it was a tactical, a tactical chess match between Woodley and Thompson. Woodley had the fight won until the end of the fifth round Thompson had the fight won until Woodley at the end of the fifth round just kind of woke up and finally started to be aggressive and found an opening and really hurt Thompson. It looked like the fight was going to be called, and it was going to be over. So he basically, it was kind of up in the air. Like Thompson was winning, but he was doing more than Woodley, which wasn't really an accomplishment because, it was like Woodley was doing nothing and Thompson was doing next to nothing. So Thompson had the edge. And so basically all it really had to take for one of those guys to win was for someone to really land some combos and make some noise, get some emotion from the crowd. And that's exactly what Woodley did. And that's why he won the fight. But all in all, it was not a good fight for fans. But I still think it was a good tactical UFC fight, in my opinion. Obviously, next up we got UFC 211, which I'm very excited about. That's the Stipe Miocic versus Junior Dos Santos, number two, May 13th at the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas. Let's look at what were the other fights that are on this. The thing is that. Fabricio Werdum and Ben Rothwell were supposed to fight here. Werdum and Rothwell were supposed to fight at the UFC 203. Rothwell pulled out because of a knee injury, and so they scrapped it, and it was supposed to be now at UFC 211. But the problem was that Rothwell was flagged by USADA, so that's not going to happen now. But Henry Cejudo, a Phoenix native, will be fighting against Sergio Pettis. Should be an interesting fight there. Cejudo should beat the crap out of him. Eddie Alvarez makes his return after losing to Conor McGregor. They have been going against Dustin Poirier. Don't really understand that matchup because Eddie Alvarez, is coming off a title shot, and he was a champion. Now they're going to face him with Poirier, who McGregor destroyed already. Poirier is not even close to the caliber that Alvarez is. Alvarez is still an amazing fighter. He's just not Conor McGregor. Demian Maia versus Jorge Masvidal, which should be a good fight. Frankie Edgar, always a terrific showing. And he'll be fighting Yair Pantera Rodriguez, who was very impressive in his last fight, which actually took place in Houston at Talking Stick. He absolutely just demolished BJ Penn back in January, not too long ago. Right in the second round, it was a TKO, and he demolished an older BJ Penn making his return. Joanna Gojek will be facing Jessica Andrade in the first of two championship fights that night, fighting for the Women's Strawweight Championship. And then, of course, Stipe Miocic versus Junior Dos Santos will be fighting for the second time. Obviously, this is a rematch of the first time they fought. And everybody knows that the first fight, it was a good fight. I really thought it was a good fight, but it was obviously a unanimous victory via for Junior Dos Santos. And so Stipe Miocic looking to get some revenge. By the way, that fight actually took place in Arizona back in December of 2014. Anyway, so let's move on now. And let's talk some quick fantasy basketball, because the fantasy basketball playoffs are coming up. And that's going to be really, really – oh, yeah, sorry, wait, hold on. I never even gave you some picks. Oh, yeah, sorry, okay. Eddie Alvarez is going to destroy Dustin Poirier. I've got Demian Maia beating Jorge Masvidal. I've got Yair Rodriguez winning a terrific fight. I think it's going to be the best fight of the night against Frankie Edgar. That fight can go both way, either way. I got Joanna Gijek winning, and I've got Stipe Miocic winning. Maybe that could change from now until May, depending on just, you have to look what these guys are doing in training and how they're feeling. You could really look and tell. So depending on, weight cuts, stuff like that. But, I definitely feel very strongly about Cejudo, feel very strongly about Alvarez. Like I said, the Rodriguez-Edgar fight can go either way. The Masvidal-Maya fight's going to be very good. The Andrade fight could win this fight. I just don't feel like Junior Santos is going to beat Stipe Miocic, though. Miocic looks to basically take 2016-2017 by storm. That's his year. 2016, obviously won. He beat Radum in the summer of last year, so he looks to come full circle and make it 1 year as a champion, this summer. So I'm looking forward to this card. It's going to be a very good card. They don't have an undercard yet out of Lee's, James Vick, Gabriel Benitez, Marco Polo Reyes, Enrique Barzola. So, the undercard is kind of weak right now, but they do have some other advanced fights, announced fights, Chaz Kelly, Jason Knight, David Branch. It should be an interesting card. I'm looking forward to it. So let's go to fantasy basketball and let's take a minor break right now and just announce that Tim Tebow has singled for his first hit of the spring, starting against the Marlins, of all teams who have no pitching, by the way. I would know him from Miami. He had gone 0-for-8 before that with 3 strikeouts, hit by pitch, and he walked into the wrong on deck circle. Tim Tebow is not a baseball player. He will not have a baseball career. He has no future in baseball. Valiant effort by him, but he's a great athlete, but he's not a baseball player. So fantasy basketball. Obviously the playoffs are starting soon, and so you really want to make a splash. Hone in on some guys. If your team is sitting in first place, sitting pretty, then hey, I'm going to say the same thing about SA football. Start your studs. Don't get cute. Start the guys that are going to, that have performed for you all year. They have a bad matchup. If you've got Paul George and he's got a matchup against Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs, I'm still starting Paul George. I'm going to still start Paul George. He's still Paul George. Kawhi Leonard's a terrific defensive player, but you're going to start your studs no matter what. Let me just give you some quick 4 players off the bat that I like, that I would like for you to pick up if they're available. One of them is not really a guy I'd like you to pick up. Just keep an eye on him, David Lee. Let's just go with 3 pickups. Tim Hardaway Jr. is one of them. Hardaway Jr. basically – he's an enigma. He hasn't scored like this in his entire career, but he is young. Over the last week or so, he's putting up like 21 points, getting a lot of minutes, 30 plus minutes. He's playing well. He's playing well off the bench, by the way, too. So he's kind of inhabiting like a Manu Ginobili, Jamal Crawford type of role right now. He's actually, performing in that role like as they would. In their primes. So Tim Hardaway Jr. is a guy to look out for. He's only owned 40% of leagues, so 6 out of 10 of you guys are going to be able to pick this guy up. Another guy I really like, let me just say, both of these next 2 players are from the hometown Phoenix Suns. Big Sauce, Alan Williams, owned in just under half of ESPN leagues, averaging around 9 rebounds a game. He's I don't understand why he's owned in only half of leagues. I mean, he's just been phenomenal lately. I just picked him up in one of my leagues, and somehow I was shocked that he was available because he's been – Alan Williams has been so good. I mean, look at this guy's past few games. I mean, you know, just unbelievable. You know, 16 and 12, 14 and 13, 11 and 15, 15 and 10, 16 and 10, 10 and 5, and then 12 and 10. And then the game before that, he had 11 and 3, and then 17 and 15. So, you know, just very impressive. Very impressive. He kind of came out of nowhere, Alan Williams. You know, I really wish I could have my friend on here on the show to talk about Alan Williams. He's a diehard Suns fan, so I wish I could have him on, but I believe he's in class right now. But Alan Williams, one, it's you know, he's 24 years old. He's a Phoenix native, went to UC Santa Barbara. Where did he come from? I mean, the Suns had Tyson Chandler and Alex Len, you know, to start the year, and then Alan Williams just kind of comes out of nowhere. He's not your prototypical center. He is 6'8", 260 pounds. So he's like a LeBron. I'm just trying to think. Hold on, I guess my friend is gonna call in. I'm about to give him the phone number. And you're gonna be in for a treat because there's no one better to talk about Alan Williams and T.J. Warren, which is the second guy that I was gonna bring in. I was gonna talk about was T.J. Warren and his star-studded performance right now, because he's been balling out. T.J. Warren has been balling out. Let me see. I think I got him on the line here.
Hello,
William, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you on, William? Yeah,
hello?
What's going on, man? I'm talking some fantasy basketball, just some pickups for the playoffs. And I got two Sunnies. I got Alan Williams and T.J. Warren. So I just wanted to get your opinion on these guys. I mean, Alan Williams, I'm just saying, they had Tyson and Len into the season, and then Alan Williams comes along. He's not even a center. He's 6'8", 260. He's LeBron size. So why do you think Alan Williams has been so big sauce, has been so good over the past few weeks?
To be honest, I think it's just because of opportunity. I mean, it hurts to say being a Suns fan, but we're one of those teams where on a bad team, a player can look a lot better. I actually just saw a poll recently that was asking, it was just saying basically if they had to choose between Alex Len or Alan Williams right now for a $10 million contract, who would they choose? And the majority of the people said Alan Williams. And I think he's playing some outstanding basketball, but I don't really think he's, you know, like that great of a center, to be honest.
He's not even a center. He's undersized. He's a power forward. He's 6'8", 260.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's huge. He's like, he's kind of like a Charles Barkley. He's just a big body and he plays like a center. So, He's definitely a center or power forward, but like, yeah, I mean, Draymond Green, now you're just seeing that more. You're seeing that more in the league. These centers are getting smaller and the game's totally changing. So,
there's so many guys. I mean, Yulis has even been playing really, really well lately, but Warren, I mean, has just been playing out of his mind since TJ left. Did you think that it was just TJ was holding him back? Like, did you always know he was going to be this good? Or,
well, yeah, I mean, I was always high on TJ Warren. He got it done early on in the season. He was putting up 20 points per game, and then he got injured. And when he got back from his injury, he couldn't really figure it out. So it doesn't surprise me that he's getting back into form now. And given the opportunity that he's basically the only small forward on the team, if you look at the roster, I mean, if you want to call that Derrick Jones Jr. small forward, I guess, but really T.J. Warren is our only small forward. So It doesn't really surprise me at all. He's not doing anything that's super impressive aside from the rebounding. He's really got his rebounding up, which is where I'm impressed. But the 17, 16 points per game, I'm not surprised by that at all. That's what he does. So.
There's two other guys, really quickly. I mean, usually when I bring up, like, ads for fantasy basketball, I just go to your team and see who you added because those are the players that usually go off. You usually pick up – I mean, you added Hardaway, and, I mean, David Lee's not so – David Lee's not like – I mean, what do you think about Hardaway, Tim Hardaway Jr.?
Hardaway's been playing really nice. If you see, I snagged him, and he put up 30 fantasy points, 25, 22, 27. I mean, the guy's been balling out, but – now that Cephalosha is back from injury, he returned to the bench role, which doesn't make sense to me. And, you know, I've told you this a lot. I don't really understand coaches sometimes in the NBA. Like, a player will come and will be doing something amazing. I mean, he's putting up, he was putting up 23 points per game over the last five games, and then they put him back on the bench, and they gave him 21 minutes. So I'm not going to be starting him this week going into the playoffs, but I definitely keep him on my team. But just doesn't really make sense to me how coaches do that, because they were winning basketball games. I mean, why go back with Cephalosha? Cephalosha doesn't do anything but play some defense. It just doesn't make sense to me. But
final question
yeah.
for you: people who have lost Lowry or KD, and that's really ironic because you lost Lowry and I lost KD. What kind of advice would you give to these owners who are kind of having to go into playoffs now with? Without one of their stars?
I mean, you should have made a trade. That's what I did. Right when I lost Lowry, I made a trade immediately for Paul George. Losing a player like that, you can't really get someone off the waiver wire unless the people in your league are not paying attention. If you're looking at point guards, if you need a point guard, I mean, looking at our league right now, the only available point guard would maybe be Marcus Smart. He would be a smart play going in because he plays close to 30 minutes per game. J.J. Barea just came back. Corey Joseph's good, but most people probably picked him up right when Lowry went down.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see him being available. If he's available, I would maybe take him. I mean, what's he doing since starting? He's put up decent numbers. But
he's available in 80% of leagues. He's available. Jeremy Lin is also available in half of the ESPN leagues.
Yeah, no, if Jeremy Lin's available, that's stupid. He needs to be picked up immediately. I mean, not that I'm high on him. It's just he's another player that's on a really, really bad team, so he's going to produce at least something. And he's their starting point guard, and he's getting, 35 minutes a game if he's healthy? So he just came back from injury, but – yeah, I would just make a waiver wire pickup, and if the trade deadline's passed in your league and there's not many hot picks on the waiver wire right now, I usually am good with those, but even I'm struggling to find somebody going into the playoffs, so yeah.
Yeah. Josh Jackson's being mocked to the Suns. Just wanted to just get your comment on this before you go. I mean, are you excited about them? Is this something that you want?
I haven't watched a lot of Josh Jackson. I've watched like three games of him, and every time I watch him, he's not really my type of player that I like, because I mean, I'm a Kobe fan. I like people who get buckets. That's what I like. So Josh Jackson,
would he fit well?
Oh yeah, he would fit well with the Suns. I mean, right now our weakest position is center, but there are no centers in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
The second weakest position would definitely be small. Huh? Well, yeah.
Markkanen, the guy from Arizona.
He's a natural power forward, though, and I don't really think he would thrive at – yeah, he's 7 foot tall, but so is Porzingis, and you don't want to see Porzingis at center.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
They're both
true.
Stretches.
That's true.
But Josh Jackson probably would fit good, because as great as TJ is, he's not really a championship – team small forward. He's great off the bench as maybe a six man, and Josh
mm-hmm.
Jackson would fit in nice. He's got the comparisons to Kawhi Leonard and Jimmy Butler. I don't think he'll be their level, but
yeah,
he definitely has defensive instincts. So I wouldn't mind getting him, but he's not my first choice at all.
Yeah. Who is your first choice? Dennis Smith?
Well, Lonzo Ball. No, Dennis Smith, I've been watching him lately. He's been declining. And right now I think if I had to choose, I would go with if we don't get, obviously, Fultz or Ball, I think I'd want Jason Tatum. He's really starting to come into bloom, and he looks good. 6'8", 205, he, freshman. How old is he, like 18 or something?
He's 19
years old, yeah. The kid looks good. Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to definitely be watching him this tournament. I think he's going to go off. I have him taking Duke to the championship for me. Those are my choices, Duke and Kansas. So I think he's going to lead Duke there, but I think that Kansas is going to get it done. So,
all right.
I know it's kind
of. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Always appreciate your time, no doubt.
Yeah, no problem. All right, take care.
How everybody get a hold of you? How do they get a hold of you?
Oh, my Twitter handle is at Liam D. Morales. And, yeah, just tweet at me whenever. And that's pretty much it. I'm not going to give you guys my phone number.
He's also got a website.
Oh, yeah, I have a website. It's called Sports Unscripted. If you go to my Twitter and at me, I'm not sure what the handle is exactly, so I don't want to mess it up. But if you go to my Twitter and you want to get a hold of that website, I follow it, so you can look through my followers, or you can at me, and I will direct you to that website.
All right, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Take care.
I'm sorry about that, guys. I don't know what just happened. I lost service for a second there. Really, really sorry about that. But if you are still listening, basically, we're going to start talking about some March Madness now. And if you're listening to this, I'm sure you're either filling out your brackets, have filled out your brackets, or are about to fill out your brackets. I literally have, like, 12 brackets. Like, I have two of them that I actually care about. One of them is for a group with my friends. The other one is for for money. So I have one basically the one for money is basically I made like the safe picks. I went kind of conservative. The one with my friends, I kind of just went with some upsets to kind of look smart. And all the other ones, I just kind of just threw some stuff out there in hopes of winning this ESPN contest, which gives out like, I don't know, I guess X amount of $1,000. So I don't know if, you know, that'll work out for me. But hey, I said, you know what? Hey, well, you know, there's no shame against doing it. You know, the guys that win, you know, they usually have like 10 brackets too. So I said, hey, you know, let me just throw some stuff out there. So there's really two brackets that I care about. So really, I have two brackets. I just made 10 additional ones just so I can try to win this other contest that ESPN's doing. But I want to go through the bracket that I actually, you know, my personal picks, like, you know, not conservative, not like, you know, research. Like, these are just my gut and what I feel based on what I've watched and my sports knowledge. So I want to go through some of these games and just give you my insight on them because it's pretty interesting. Villanova, I have advancing. I've got Wisconsin beating Virginia Tech. I've got UVA advancing. The Gators – sorry, let me just backtrack there. The UVA Wilmington game, here's the thing. UVA and Wilmington play in the afternoon on Thursday. Princeton and Notre Dame play in the afternoon on Thursday. Last year, when all the big upsets, at Georgia State and UAB and Arkansas Little Rock, they all occurred during the early afternoon games. And Princeton, the 12th seed, okay, against the 5, Notre Dame, and another 12 seed. We all love the 12-5 upsets, Wilmington against UVA, both early afternoon games. If I had to pick one of those, I do not think it's going to be Princeton. If the team, if there's a 12 seed that wins, it most likely will be Wilmington over UVA. Because if UVA doesn't get out, UVA can't shoot the ball, and they dig themselves into a hole, they have a lot of trouble getting out of it. They have a good defense. But if they've gotten into dry spells before like no other, and they haven't been able to shoot out of it. So and Wilmington's a 3-point shooting team. So I really like Wilmington. I picked Wilmington in that bracket with my friends. So I mean, honestly, I'm gonna go with Wilmington in this game. I actually have Virginia, but now that I just said that, I guess I don't really have Wilmington. But yeah, I do have Wilmington. So I'm going with Wilmington. The next game is UF versus Eastern Tennessee State. And Eastern Tennessee State was one of these teams that is not getting any amount of recognition from the committee, or not really from the committee, I would say from Vegas, really. They are really just underrated. Now, this game in Orlando, so some people have Eastern Tennessee State winning, but this is really as close to a home game as the Gators could want coming out of Orlando. Now, at least it is known that at least one 13 seed has beaten a 4 seed in 23 of the past 32 years. Last year it was Hawaii. Now the 13 seeds this year, Eastern Tennessee State, Vermont, Winthrop, and Bucknell. Bucknell's not going to win. So it's either those three. And the best chance of victory for those three is Vermont. And I actually have Vermont winning against Purdue, but I'll get to that in a minute. Florida, you know, that game, could, you know, Eastern Tennessee State could shock. They could shock Florida, but I like the Gators. I like them. And I don't mean like I don't like them as I'm a fan of them. I mean that I think they're a good team. I'm a Canes fan. When it comes to football, at least. I like Tar Heel basketball. Touch me. SMU versus the winner of the Providence-USC game. By the way, I think Providence beats USC in that first war game and advances. And Providence is a good squad, but SMU is sneaky good. I like SMU to win. Baylor-New Mexico State. I was actually thinking of picking New Mexico State for a while, but because at least one 14 seed has beaten the 3 seed the past 4 years. I do have a 14 seed winning this year, but I'll get to that in a minute. I think that there's a chance that any of these 14 seeds could win. New Mexico State, Iona, Fort Gold Coast, Dunk City, or Kent State even. So I you know what? I'd say look after that. Probably not Kent State, if I had to say that, actually. I was counting on Bakersfield to be playing against UCLA because Bakersfield actually has a solid offense, and UCLA can't play D. So I was saying, hey, Bakersfield could do something here, but they lost. So now it's Kent State. Bakersfield has no offense. Bakersfield has a good defense. So that was what I was going to say. Hey, I mean, you know, they could stop UCLA's offense. But now it's Kent State, and Kent State really can't do anything. So I take back what I said. It's not going to be Kent State. So it's either going to be New Mexico State, Iona, or Florida Gulf Coast. And so looking at this, you know, it makes sense to say, hey, could it be Iona? Oregon lost one of their marquee players, and that's going to hurt them. So Iona could really surprise a lot of people. They could really surprise a lot of people. Let's just quickly go through the rest of the bracket here. South Carolina – sorry, by the way, let's rewind. Baylor, New Mexico State, I do have Baylor winning. South Carolina, Marquette, this game could go either way. You can make a case for either of these two teams. Marquette's a big three-point shooting team. South Carolina plays tough D. It depends what you want. It's really going to be a matter of is Marquette going to hit the three? That's one of those games that you can't really predict. If Marquette comes out hitting threes during this tournament, they can go far. They can dance. But if South Carolina locks down and plays tough D and Marquette's not hitting their shots, it's South Carolina winning. So this game is one of those games that could go either way. That's why no one's going to get a perfect bracket. A game like that could just really go either way. Duke's going to beat Troy. Gonzaga over South Dakota State. Obviously, I'm not picking a 16 seed to win. But I do think it will happen eventually in my lifetime, at least. Vandy Northwestern could go either way. Northwestern just needs to say, hey, look, you know, we lost to Wisconsin. We got beat the crap out of. Let's put it away. Let's put it behind us. It's our first time in a tournament in 78 years. Let's not have too many jitters. Let's go out. Let's play our brand of basketball, and let's win this game. Vandy's kind of inconsistent. If Northwestern can just get their heads on straight and focus, they could win the game. But I do have Vandy. Notre Dame, Princeton, like I said, Notre Dame is a very good team. I don't think Princeton's going to win. I really don't. West Virginia, Bucknell. I got WVU, West Virginia. Maryland, Xavier. Maryland is not a good team. I've told you multiple times that I was not buying Maryland, and I'm not buying them either. This is a matchup between two teams who are projected to be very good this year. They were, you know, in the beginning of the season, the preseason, they already had Xavier as a projected 3 seed. Xavier fell to all the way to an 11 seed, and people are picking them to get to the Sweet 16, and I could see it, actually. Not because it was just ironic. I'm saying, hey, you know, they're so bad, but they could have an easier route. They could easily beat Maryland. Gulf Coast could beat Florida State, which would give Xavier a very easy path to the Sweet 16. And besides, and if Florida State, you know, Florida State's not a terrific team. They could lose. You know, so if we're talking about Florida State possibly losing to Gulf Coast, they could definitely possibly lose to Xavier. So Xavier could be one of those teams that gets to the Sweet 16 and not be a very good team at all. But just a disappointing team this year for Xavier. Miles Davis obviously suspended or kicked out of the team, I believe, earlier in the year. So anyway, let's keep going. I do have Florida State winning, though. St. Mary's VCU, this game could go either way, but I really think St. Mary's is a very good team, very sneaky good. Also, kind of like in the same mold as SMU, sneaky good team St. Mary's is. And I got U of A winning. I hate U of A. But, hey, like I said, they could lose North Dakota. Watch out. North Dakota is 22-9, all right? They're a good squad. I guess the Fighting Hawks making their NCAA tournament debut. They got this tandem. They got Quinton Hooker and Geno Crandall. You know, defense is, you know, all right. Rebounding is all right. You know, they got a good tempo. I don't know what to say. Number two seeds are, you know, they win 93.8% of the games. But we saw, look, last year Michigan State lost to Middle Tennessee. And we saw in 2013, we saw Georgetown lose to Gulf Coast. So if the 15 seed is to win this year, I'm going to have to say that it's going to be North Dakota. So North Dakota, I'm going to say, is the best chance of winning against the 2 seed. So those are two regions, the West and the East. Let's move on to the Midwest. I got Kansas beating the 16th seed. Miami, Michigan State, interesting matchup here. Coaching, Jim Loranga versus Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo is one of the best coaches, but he can only do so much. Obviously, you saw what he did with a Michigan State team that was good last year. Now he's got a team that's bad, and now he's going against a better team than Middle Tennessee, which is Jim Loranga's Miami team. Miami's good. I just picked Michigan State because it's Tom Izzo, but Miami could easily win this game. Iowa State, Nevada. People are picking Nevada. I think Iowa State annihilates them. I really do. I think it's stupid to pick against Iowa State. This is a very good team. Purdue, Vermont. Vermont hasn't lost since mid-December. They kind of remind me of last year's Stephen F. Austin team, which almost made it to the Sweet 16. And so I like Vermont to beat number four Purdue. Creighton, Rhode Island. Creighton lost one of their best players midway through the season, and that's why they're seeded so highly, is because they had all those wins early in the year to pad them. They're nowhere near the team that they would have been with him. I like Rhode Island. They beat VCU. That's how they got into the tournament. They're a good squad, and by beating VCU, that's partly the reason why I am not taking VCU to win their game against St. Mary's. Also, St. Mary's is sticky good, like I said. So I got to go with Rhode Island in this game. Oregon could lose to Iona. Iona's a good squad. Or, like I said, Oregon lost one of their best players, Chris Boucher. And Iona's a sneaky good three-point shooting team. They've always been a good three-point shooting team. So Iona could upset Oregon. But that game is in Sacramento. Michigan, Oklahoma State, very interesting game here. I like Oklahoma State a lot. They have arguably the best offense in the country. I mean, and that is no joke. They arguably have the best offense in the country. I would say they do. I'd actually put UCLA at three and Villanova at two. But here's the thing. Michigan looks so good in the Big Ten tournament. And also, 9 of the past 10 Big Ten champions have made it to the Elite the Sweet 16, with the exception of Michigan State last year, who lost to Middle Tennessee in the first round. So keep that in mind. I got Michigan going far. Louisville, Jacksonville State, I'm going to go with Louisville. UNC, I've got beating the 16, Texas Southern. I've got UNC winning it all, against Duke, by the way. Arkansas, I've got beating Seton Hall, but that game could go either way. Seton Hall is a tough team. Minnesota, Middle Tennessee. Minnesota is a very good team. They're a lot better than people think they are at the five. But Middle Tennessee beat Michigan State last year. They returned Reggie Upshaw and Giddy Potts, the two guys that were instrumental in beating them last year. Middle Tennessee, I think, makes it to the Sweet 16 this year. I think they win a hard-fought game against Minnesota and then beat Butler. But you know, look, I'm telling you, one of those three teams, Middle Tennessee, Butler, and Minnesota, will go to the Sweet 16. So watch out. Butler versus Winthrop. Winthrop is not to be taken lightly. Winthrop could beat Butler, but I got Butler winning. Cincinnati, I think they're a tough team. They can't really shoot the ball very well. And Wake Forest, Kansas State, whoever wins that game, which is going to be a good game in my opinion. Wake Forest has Jonathan Collins, who's a beast. So if Wake Forest wins, I think they beat Cincinnati. And Kansas State wins, I still think they beat Cincinnati. UCLA, Kent State, like I said, Kent State could win U.S. UCLA could get upset. I'm not buying what LeVar Ball is putting out there. But they are a very good team. I mean, hell, they could win the championship. And I'm just saying that, you know, if Lonzo Ball doesn't play well, they're in trouble. Dayton, Wichita State. I mean, a lot of people are saying, oh, Wichita State. I agree with them for the most part. But Dayton shouldn't be taken lightly. I mean, Wichita State hasn't really played anyone good as they've been. You know, do I think they should be a 10th seed? No. Do I think that Dayton could beat them, or do I think that Wichita State is a lock to beat Dayton? Absolutely not. Dayton is a good squad. Wichita State hasn't really had a track record. They haven't really played anyone this year. So it's going to be – you know, remember they were undefeated like 2 years ago and they lost to Kentucky in the second round? You know, so now they don't even have those players that they had. So, you know, I think that it could be a revenge game. They could beat Kentucky. Who knows? Wichita State, this is going to be interesting. Greg Marshall's a great coach. And then I got Kentucky beating Northern Kentucky in the first round, the 2-15. Let's just move on. I've got Villanova beating Wisconsin. Wisconsin can't shoot the three. Florida beating UVA. So it could be Wilmington, or it could be put it this way. If Florida could be playing Wilmington, or we could see a matchup between Wilmington and 13 East Tennessee State. But I got Florida beating UVA. I got SMU beating Baylor. Like I said, they're sneaky good. I don't like Baylor. I think Baylor's overrated. I got Duke over Marquette. Gonzaga over Vandy. Notre Dame over WVU, which should be a terrific game. I got Xavier beating Florida State. That game could go either way. St. Mary's, Arizona. That game could also go either way, but I've got Arizona. I've got Kansas, Michigan State. Beat Kansas winning. Iowa State beating Vermont. I've got Rhode Island against Oregon. I got Oregon winning, but that game could go either way. And again, we could see Rhode Island versus Iona, in which I would have Rhode Island going to the Sweet 16. So watch out for Rhode Island. Michigan versus Louisville. I've got Michigan winning. I think Michigan pulls off the upset after what I've seen last weekend. UNC, I got beating Arkansas. I got Middle Tennessee beating Butler, getting to the Sweet 16. I got UCLA beating the winner of Wake Forest, Kansas State. And I got Wichita State beating Kentucky. These are just gut picks, guys. I got UCLA beating Wichita State. UNC beating Middle Tennessee. Oregon beating Michigan. Iowa State beating Kansas. Villanova beating Florida. I got Duke beating SMU. Gonzaga beating Notre Dame. That game could go either way. And I've got Arizona beating Xavier. Now, we could very well see UCLA versus Kentucky instead of UCLA versus Wichita State. We could see UNC versus Butler. We could see Notre Dame beat Gonzaga, which would not surprise me at all. Michigan could beat Oregon, but I don't think they'd beat Iowa State. So SMU could beat Duke. You know, all of these are possibilities. Villanova is not the same team they were last year. Everyone's picking. Some people pick Villanova to win it all. I don't get it. They don't have they don't have that dude Ryan Arakandianko, whatever the guy's last name was. I can't pronounce it. And they also have that dude Daniel Ochenfu, however you pronounce his last name either. I probably should know. But either way, they don't have those two guys who were very instrumental to their team last year. And just because Chris Jenkins hit a game-winning shot once which was extremely lucky shot, by the way, does not mean that he's going to go off every game. It's a much different team. We haven't seen a repeat champion since the Gators. And they had Horford and Joakim Noah, and they had Brewer and Lee Humphries and Tyrene Green, and I think most space was on one of those teams. I mean, so they had a good squad full of, you know, NBA first rounders. I mean, if you look, I mean, Villanova, you know, their best player is Josh Hart, and he's projected to be in the second round. I mean, that's a problem. This is not like the Gators where they could repeat. We're not seeing that. Josh Hart is the only player on that team that's going to be in the NBA most likely, and he's a second round pick. So let's not confuse ourselves. And Al Horford has been a great NBA player. I mean, so yeah, no, Villanova is not. They're not going to repeat. I'm sorry. So I've got Duke, Gonzaga, Iowa State, and North Carolina in the as my final four. I've got Duke and Carolina getting to the championship game, and I've got Carolina winning 77-74. Now, again, I could see Arizona in the final four. I could see Notre Dame in the final four. I could see possibly even Michigan in the final four. I could see UCLA or Kentucky in the final four. I could possibly, I mean, maybe West Virginia. Maybe. I like them. The Gators, Virginia, I mean, these are all teams that are on the brink. You know, Oregon, who knows? I mean, it's Baylor, just Louisville. I mean, there's a lot of teams, but those are the guys. Kentucky, UCLA, UNC from the South. Those are your candidates from the Final Four, in my opinion. Arizona and Arizona, Notre Dame, and Gonzaga from the West. Duke and Villanova from the East. And Louisville and Iowa State from the Midwest. I do not think Kansas goes very far. I saw they lost to TCU in the Big 12 tournament. They're not that good, you know. They have a good squad, but it's weird. They have a good squad, a good coach, Josh Jackson, best backcourt, Graham, Mason. They still lost to TCU. So what do you expect? No, I'm not going to pick them to go far. My friend does, but I'm not. I'm sorry. I mean, it usually spells bad news when a team gets upset in their own conference tournament or in the first round and they're one seed. It usually spells doom. And I'm sorry to break it to you, but there's usually most times that there's a one seed that doesn't get to the Sweet 16, and it's going to be Kansas. It's not going to be Nova. Nova's good. They have an easy matchup. Wisconsin kicks it 3. Gonzaga's got so much depth. UNC's not losing. So that just leaves Kansas. There's just the odd man out, the odd team out in this scenario. So I'm going to say the first team to lose. And if a two seed was to lose in the first round, it's going to be Arizona versus North Dakota. If there's a three seed that's going to lose, it could be either Florida State against Gulf Coast, Dunk City. It could be Baylor. I don't think so. I think it's going to be either Gulf Coast or Iona. That wins, and I would probably lean towards Gulf Coast, but Iona could be Iona, you know. And I'm just saying that because we've seen it in the past. But then again, Oregon does have a player that's hurt. If a four seed's going to lose, look for Purdue to lose to Vermont. West Virginia is not going to lose, and Butler might lose, but Vermont, I mean, that game is big. You know, Vermont hasn't lost; they've been on a roll, and Eastern Tennessee State too. They're solid. The 5-12 games, I'm telling you, Wilmington, UNC Wilmington. Nevada's not going to win. I'm telling you right now, Middle Tennessee is sick, and Princeton's not going to win either. So Middle Tennessee and Wilmington are your 12 seeds. I know people love to pick the 5-12. And so those are my picks. March Madness starts Thursday. I can't wait. I got UNC winning it all against Duke, 77-73. Catch me on Twitter, at Ryan Dorf. Next week, same time, 1 p.m., UFC, 8 Fantasy Sports. Guys, it's been a pleasure. Catch me next week. Thanks for listening.